Back to the regular agenda. 207, please.
Pay construction contract claim settlement for construction of the Fano Basin Pressure Line System Upgrade Project Number E10.
One second. Hold on for one sec. Which one are you referring to?
I was just noticing that we've got community members who've been waiting a long time as
for
well.
What?
For this one.
For 211?
Yeah. Sorry, staff.
Does anybody mind if I move to 211?
No.
Okay, we'll be quick, and we'll get to city staff. Thank you for your patience. Please suspend the last item. Read 211 instead, please.
Authorized conveyance of city-owned property located at 5020 North Interstate to Proud Ground and funding in an amount not to exceed $9,500,000 to its affiliate, 5020 Condo Project LLC, for construction of a new home ownership condominium development located in the Interstate Corridor Urban Renewal Area.
Colleagues, the 5020 or 5020 Condo Project is the third North Northeast home ownership development, the second to come in front of the City Council for funding approval. The project provides affordable home ownership opportunities for first-time preference policy family, giving priority to families with historic ties to the neighborhood that have been impacted by displacement as the surrounding area is gentrified. We've just heard quite a lot about that in the last report. The city is pleased to see the first mixed-income building blending market-rate homes with permanently affordable homes along the interstate corridor. This project not only provides stable housing in a high-opportunity area, but offers families the ability to participate in the equity increase of their home and to create wealth for the next generation. We're pleased to see how this project contributes to the overall North-Northeast housing strategy, which we just heard about. Good afternoon and welcome. Oh. Do you want to kick us off? Shannon Callahan, Director Callahan of Portland Housing Bureau. Hello.
Good afternoon, Mayor. Not quite yet. Good morning, Mayor. I apologize. We somehow do not have our beautiful PowerPoint available for us. I'm just going to have to talk to you.
But we love PowerPoints.
It's actually a very short and beautiful PowerPoint that
Commissioner Udaly will watch it later.
It shows you what the building is going to look like. So we do want to highlight just a little bit of that. And if you'd give us just a second, we'll pop that right up. Yes, that's it. Thank you. We appreciate it. So we are here this morning to talk with you about the 5020 condo project on North Interstate. It is one of a long time project in the works, a very complex and yet extremely exciting project being undertaken by Proud Ground. This is really our first foray at the Housing Bureau into a multifamily condo home ownership structure. Which is prioritized for preference policy families. So as you heard this morning, this is the third homeownership project with the North and Northeast strategy. This is a mixed income project. All of the affordable homes are family size, so 2 and 3 bedrooms. The building itself, we estimate, will house approximately 218 people. And we expect construction to commence later this month and open early next year. The project itself is located on wonderful transit line on the interstate in Alberta on the MAX. 19 of the units, up to 19, will be available for families who make as low as 35% of median family income, which is an incredible undertaking to get families into home ownership at that income level. There'll also be up to 17 units for between households at 60 to 80, and then 4 units between 80 and 100% MFI, as well as 24 market rate units. And this will be an Earth Advantage Gold building. This just really illustrates the layout of the design of the project itself from an aerial view, and then all of the other funding partners that come together to make projects like this possible. Home ownership can be even more challenging than a rental project because one of the main subsidies we rely on for rentals is a low-income housing tax credit that's frankly not available to home ownership. So it takes more from a lot of different funding partners to make these projects even possible. And so this morning you'll be approving, or we're asking you to approve, before I turn it over to Diane, an amount of funding not to exceed $9.5 million. I will say that we don't anticipate all of these funds remaining in the project. Because of the unique nature of a home ownership project, we're also providing something that we've never done before, which is a construction loan to the project to help make sure that the project has the funds they need to develop, and then, of course, will be paid back upon sale. We're also asking for something that is unusual as well, which is an ability to add up to $1 million from this funding into the project to better align the home ownership opportunities to the families that come through the preference policy. We would hate, of course, to create units at a higher income level if that's not the families that we're seeing. And so some of the creative financing we've been working on is a way to solve for that, so we can meet folks where they are as they come off the list and make sure that the families that we've prioritized as a city have the best shot as home ownership as they can. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Diane.
Before you turn it over, I'd like to ask one quick question for clarification. The home ownership units, and maybe I should have been waiting for Diane to answer this one, now that I think about it. What's the range that those units will sell for?
Diane, we have that for you.
But the price point's right in front of me.
I may. I will tell you that I have a lot of materials right in front of me.
Well,
Let me see if we can answer that for you. Exactly.
Right. And before Diane.
The whole thing breaks down into chaos.
We can provide you.
Small question.
Commissioner Hersey, we can provide you with a complete breakdown of the estimated price points. $127,000 for the lowest price units, and those are estimated based on the affordability calculations.
Condos, geez.
Three bedrooms is $160,000.
Three bedroom.
Thank you.
$160,000.
For a three-bedroom?
For a three-bedroom family-size unit. Which
is extraordinary. That is
amazing.
The highest of the amazing.
Highest three-bedroom units, and there's only a few at that level thanks to the $1 million of additional subsidy to bring down those price points.
And then what is the market rate? If I'm buying a condo at market rate?
Well, do you want to just come up?
Actually, we actually do have a appraisal on all the market rate units, and just as an example, the one-bedroom market rate unit would go for about $260,000. So quite accessible,
You know, those dollar amounts really does clarify who it is we're attempting to provide homeownership opportunities for, and I am very appreciative. I gotta tell you, I'm giddy about this project. I don't normally play favorites, but I'm really, really giddy about this one, and so I'm gonna shut up now and let you do your thing.
Thank you. Mayor?
But you don't necessarily have her vote.
I recognize
don't
that.
Assume that.
She's good until the process has worked its way through.
Always assume you're the underdog.
That's right. Good to know. Mayor, commissioners, my name's Diane Lynn. I'm executive director of Proud Ground. In the spring of 2017, Proud Ground reached out to Habitat for Humanity director Steve Messinetti, who's here with me today, to begin to build a team to respond to the Portland Housing Bureau's NOFA for a condo project at 5020 North Interstate in the heart of the North Northeast community. The vision for this project is inspired by Proud Ground's commitment to equity and our experience working to pair low and moderate income families with affordable homes as part of the African American Alliance for Home Ownership collaborative that we were part of. Through Proud Ground and Habitat's unique partnership, the condominium units will be affordable to families that fall, again, as you've heard, as low as 35% of median income, up to 80, with only a few at the 80 to 100% median income, and those are three-bedroom units. With this project, Proud Ground hopes to give families a viable opportunity to reestablish their neighborhood roots through first-time home ownership, which is hugely stabilizing for families. Proud Ground has assembled a diverse team of development professionals who have deep experience in creating homeownership in North Northeast Portland for displaced families of color. development partners include Carlton Hart Architecture as our architects, LMC Construction as the general contractor, the extraordinary team at the Housing Development Center as a development consultant, it's a nonprofit team, and Gina Woolley, who is with us here today, she's right here, my right-hand person on this as the owner's rep for this project. She brings over 40 years of experience in the community and development. That's right. The majority of these firms were selected and are NWESB certified with track records in working with community stakeholders and have been committed to hiring minority-owned professionals and subcontractors. We'll be showing you results in that area. Representatives of these businesses, most of whom would love to have been here today because of timing, we have just a few, but they are with us and have been extraordinarily committed to this effort. This is your implementation team. They're committed to breaking new ground on a development that, as Shannon Callahan just said, is somewhat challenging for homeownership development. Program has leveraged the city's resources with about $2.6 million of funding from Oregon Housing Community Services LIFT funds for the first time in Oregon history, Metro's Transit Development Orient grant program, Enterprise Community Partners, Meyer Memorial, Oregon Community Foundation, and Collins. We have nearly confirmed, and that will have a lot to do with your decision today, a construction loan by Heritage Bank, who's been an extraordinary partner on the project, thanks really in part to the mezzanine loan that PHB offered for this project. Changing zoning code led to the inclusion of 25% active use on the ground floor, adding the another additional element to the building, including a community space strongly requested by the Neighborhood Association. We are here today to ask for your support for the city's role in this project, the conveyance of land, the mezzanine loan, the $6 million of construction loan that will remain in the project to ensure the units stay affordable to residents for generations to come. Building this 64-unit, family-friendly, mixed-income, energy-efficient, transit-oriented, state-of-the-art, intentional community where at least 40 of the units will stay permanently affordable, designed for families who were displaced or at risk of displacement, will create a legacy in this community. I know. Proud Grounds Board.
I think you forgot something, but I'm
sure I did. There are many more elements. Proud Grounds Board and our staff has contributed extensively to this effort. Our team will be providing listing services as a brokerage in kind to, in addition to the deference of most of the developer fee for this project at this point in time. Thanks to the team of professionals, critical partnerships, and funders, we feel confident, even in these uncertain economic times, that this project will be a showcase for homeownership development into the future. I want to thank you all for your support, and if you do vote today to support this project, we would so love for you to join the celebration for groundbreaking in early April.
Excellent.
So if we vote against you, we're not invited.
You're not invited if you don't vote.
No pressure.
And very happy to answer your questions, but I defer to my colleague, Steve Messinetti.
Thank you. Hi, Steve.
Thank you. Steve Messinetti, President and CEO of Habitat for Humanity, and I'd say it's truly an honor to be a part of this Northeast strategy work and especially to be in partnership with Proud Ground on this project. This really is a unique project, the first truly mixed-income multifamily condominium development in our city. The city's partnership and subsidy on this project will make it possible for up to 19 of the preference policy households for this building to be sold to families earning between $30,000 and $40,000 a year. So those are the under 60% MFI group, and most of those will actually be closer to 40% AMI. And most of those units all of those units are 2 and 3 bedroom units, and we expect most of those will be families with children, sometimes multi-generational families, and even though they only make up 30% of the units in the building, we expect that'll actually be closer to half of the people in the building because of those larger families. Habitat is committed to supporting these households both by financially guaranteeing their mortgages to ensure they get an affordable mortgage that's no more than 30% of their income, and that mortgage is below market interest rates, which are already low. In addition, Habitat's committing $390,000 to these households in the form of forgivable second mortgages in order to get the price point first mortgage down to affordable levels. Your support of this project will not only be transformational for these families and their futures, but will be supporting one of the most innovative, culturally specific, mixed-income homeownership projects in the country. And lots of eyes are on it. Thank you for your support of this project, helping to stem further displacement of African-American residents in North Northeast Portland and close our city's disgraceful minority homeownership gap. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Good afternoon. My name is John Robertson. Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners, for allowing and listening to my testimony today in consideration of the 5020 condo project. I would like to share a story of my son. It's a short story, if I may. It's a story of a young disabled adult that has navigated his way through the complexities of health systems, human service programs, and preference multifamily housing assistance programs. John's life journey began 36 years ago. But the roads or the routes of affordable housing are directly related to and aligned with determinants such as health disparities, education, access to information, drug and alcohol abuse, mental wellness, income disparities, unemployment disparities, and of course what we're talking about today, home ownership disparities, that for us began 50 years ago. It's a story that has been told by African Americans in Portland for many years, and John's story is no different, but it is unique. Beginning in 1960, our families were displaced due to urban renewal, redlining, access to affordable housing, housing mortgages and loans, and laws and policies that landlords and leasing agents used to discriminate against people of color. While these families were forced to rent, 64% of the time, people of color were cited with higher rents, higher deposits, and additional fees. And it's affected all of those neighborhoods that we're talking about today. Our story by John Robertson Jr. Will be read by John Robertson Sr. It was in the late 60s when my grandfather moved to Portland to settle after the work in the shipyards in the Bay Area dried up and the service veterans no longer had steady work. Grandpa served in two wars, Korea and Vietnam, yet he never did receive a GI loan to purchase a home for his family or a financial loan to further his education. So foundationally, nothing could be handed down or inherited. So the family rented houses in the Abina neighborhood and bounced around in inner Northeast. As the kids grew older in the 70s, Grandpa was forced into housing assistance in Southeast Portland. Even while having a decent professional career as a long-haul truck driver and eventually working with the Metro TriMet, the 80s started seeing rising rent and cost of living increases for a lot of communities of color, and many family members were moving further and further out of Central Portland. As tough as the times were, I was born in the 80s to young parents, John Robertson Sr. and Carla Walker. I was diagnosed as autistic at age 5. Most agencies were not familiar with the autism spectrum in the 80s, so lots of recertification and assistance were mandated or even denied. Dad worked hard, steady and full, while continuing to go to school. Mom worked part-time, but it seemed like we were always above water with limited income, moderate transportation, and bad health habits. My brother and sisters were born 5 and 8 years later. We bounced around in 2 and 3 bedroom apartments, duplexes, and houses for 15 years in North and Northeast Portland, which included me changing Portland public school districts. Ironically, our last house as a 5-person household was our nicest and roomiest. However, the years of stress and mental depression gave way to the parents separating and eventually divorcing. Dad was a non-custodial parent for about 3 years and rented a tiny bedroom house on Lombard and 6th. Mom couldn't afford the nice roomy house and bounced around and eventually settled with family members, and the kids moved back in with Dad. Now that Dad was a single parent, rising housing prices forced us to move to Southeast Brooklyn neighborhood in a three-room duplex. Me and my brother shared the basement, my sister upstairs. Somewhere between Lombard Street and my mom's move to Texas is when my application for displaced families was submitted. Over 15 years later, several lotteries, several screenings, my name was selected through the Portland Housing Commission, and I was selected by Habitat for Humanity for the Affordable Housing Program in collaboration with Proud Ground. Fast forward to today, and my dad is still guiding my living process, but me and my brother, my niece, and my nephew are in the process of purchasing affordable housing by mid-year 2020 through the efforts of Proud Ground. Being a young parent and raising a disabled child could never be easy for any community member, but add that to systemic barriers and gentrification, it can be a real burden. Some even stated over the years how sorry I am for your burden, statements to my dad that minimize the strength and fortitude it takes families to keep moving forward together. My dad always said, I'm not a burden, but a blessing. And now that blessing is coming to fruition with the opportunity for affordable home ownership for myself and my siblings. My brother and I will share space again, and it will be all come as a result of Proud Ground and helping guiding our paths. Mr. Mayor and Commissioners, speaking as an African-American male and a single parent and a widower, it was with the government that has facilitated the dominance of our communities and our businesses and home ownership and culture in Portland area in the past. And so it should be with our government leaders today, where we need to champion these connections with what Proud Ground, Portland Housing Commissioner, and Habitat for Humanity is needing to do to rebuild these relationships for the future. Previous preference in affordable housing programs, excuse me, previous preference in affordable housing programs have cared for more people than expected, reduced houseless families more than expected, saved more medical and mental health costs than expected, and saved more lives than we ever could imagine. As we heard today, according to the Census Bureaus and Portland Housing Bureaus, nearly 10,000 families were displaced. These families simply cannot grow a community if you scatter them to the wind. The 5020 condo project you are considering today will give a similar opportunity to 40 or more families as part of this commitment the city made to North and Northeast Portland. Home ownership helps stabilize families like John Jr. and gives them a chance to live in the community they were raised in and access to affordable options in the Portland neighborhood. In order for this work of empowering our neighborhoods to be sustainable, it has to be done by us for us. And so the sweat equity models and the shared equity models provide for families support and help each other and bring cultural diversity back to the community. By enacting the preference policies and affordable housing programs with the 5020 condo project will help marginalized families with historical roots in North and Northeast Portland come back or stay, and putting them in affordable housing units or affordable home ownerships. Please support the 5020 condo project so these needed units can be built for families like ours. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Does that complete the panel's presentation? Any further questions? Any public testimony on this item?
We have one person signed up, Maggie.
Thank you for the presentation. It was excellent.
Thank you.
Maggie, you want to come up?
Hi. You can't go back and undo past injustices, but you can go forward and deal with current injustices. But I would like to say one thing that all those things are important, but one thing is really bothering me. It kind of like, okay, people were displaced and they're screaming to get back into these old places that were redlined, just like Chicago and New York. And, you know, I grew up around three major military bases, and one thing that was happening when I was growing up is people were starting to integrate into neighborhoods. So we had, you know, African American and Asian and Jewish and Christian, and the one thing I think is so bad about human beings is why can't they create community together based on where they live and not the color of their skin or their religion or, you know, and they're fighting to get back into this redlining. It's like we're so bad. We're such a horrible creature that we can't just go, oh, here we're all in this neighborhood together and, you know, we're all different types of people, we're all different genders, we're LGBTQ, we're, you know, we're immigrants, we're, you know, everything, and now back to redlining. And that's what's kind of been niggling at me about this. And are we doing any studies about people that are integrated into communities that were traditionally white, and how are they doing there, and are they creating community, and can they create community together?
Commissioner Hursty.
that's kind of what's been bugging me.
Thanks,
Maggie. I really appreciate you saying that housing by itself does not create community, as you well know, right?
Right.
And yes, wouldn't it be wonderful if we all started from the same place, right? That we all, if we just all showed up in the same neighborhood.
I show up here, and even though this place is a country club, you know, I'm saying homeless people are part of the community.
I just can't imagine why anybody would call this place a country club. I have much higher standards for country clubs than city council, right?
Don't know about the pool.
No, nobody told me about the pool.
Or cocktail parties, the secret cocktail parties.
But Maggie, I hear you. It is not community members who are displaced, who are stressed out. It is not their job to build community, right? When people are trying to survive, we should not have the added burden that is their responsibility to reach out to folks that may or may not be welcoming them into their neighborhood, right? So while I appreciate what you're saying, I think we have to deal with the emergency.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, okay, so how do we build community where we are, right? We can't undo the past, but we can set a standard for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Maggie.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? This is an emergency ordinance. Kaylin, please call the roll.
Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. I suggested that we move this up in the agenda, partly because I noticed our nonprofit leaders and others sitting in the audience, and partly because it did seem to follow on so well with the previous presentation.
That's a good one.
We sometimes say it's my honor to vote for something. In this case, it's my responsibility to vote for this. And thank you so much for your moving story and congratulations that your son is going to be a homeowner and your family is able to show that you have been survivors and that you're going to be able to move forward. And so I'm very grateful to you for coming to explain in your own personal experience why all of this matters. So thank you very much for all of your work, everybody. Thank you to the Housing Bureau. Mayor Wheeler, aye.
Hardesty.
I want to add my appreciation to both Director Callahan, the staff at the Housing Bureau, and the incredible community partnership that's been created with Proud Ground and with, I'm forgetting, with Habitat for Humanity. Thank you. I'm old, right? I get those senior moments. I, like, forget what I'm saying in mid-sentence. This is the kind of project when we talk about housing that people can afford to live in, this is the kind of project that I think about, right? This is my vision. This is what I think we don't do enough of. And I know how difficult it is to fund projects that are outside of the box, that are visionary, that will have a long-lasting impact. And so I just want to applaud everyone who made this deal happen, and I am very proud to vote aye in favor of this, and I hope this isn't the last time we see creativity like this as we continue to address the crisis that is housing in our community. So thank you all. I vote aye.
Hugh Daly.
I spent 12 years before coming to City Council as a low-income single parent raising a child with a severe disability and a cost burden renter. It's hard to talk for me to even talk about it without getting emotional. It's traumatizing to live under those circumstances. And I was already brought to tears earlier when you said that there would be a number of units available at 35% of median income. That's incredible. That's less than 200% of the federal poverty level. I don't know if anyone else has figured out how to deliver housing to people that low income. And, you know, considering that the federal poverty level dates back to a time when a loaf of bread cost 22 cents. We know that we're hiding poverty in this country. We know that you need to earn five times the federal poverty level to afford rents or have any hope of buying a home in Portland without deep, deep subsidies. So this is just absolutely incredible, and I'm so thankful and proud of the way the community has come together. I've had a laser focus on tenant protections the first 3 years I was here, and now I've turned to anti-displacement, and this kind of work is essential to that. We need to get low and moderate income families into home ownership opportunities so they can be truly stable, so they can build wealth, so they can choose their communities, and they can put down permanent roots. It's absolutely life-changing. So it's I want to make sure I don't forget to I don't have any thank yous, but I'm going to thank everyone who came today and everyone who's worked on this project, and obviously I vote aye.
Wheeler.
I want to thank the panel for their presentation today and all the hard work that's gone into this. We know that home ownership stabilizes neighborhoods, communities, and it gives families the opportunity to build wealth for future generations. Helping families to build equity in a home is a long-term solution to intergenerational poverty. But the opportunity to purchase a home, unfortunately, is currently out of reach for many Portlanders, and there continues to be a deep and, quite frankly, a persistent disparity for communities of color in particular. This project is just one of many steps that we're taking as a city to redress that imbalance and to begin to bridge these gaps with meaningful pathways to home ownership, particularly for those who've been marginalized and excluded from these opportunities in the past. I'd like to commend the team, Proud Ground, Habitat for Humanity, for its commitment to helping so many low-income families realize their dreams of home ownership. Thank you, Diane, in particular, for your leadership. Steve, thank you for your leadership at Habitat. You guys have been great partners. This project also comes as a result of tremendous collaboration amongst partners, including the North Northeast Oversight Committee, the Heritage Bank, the Oregon Housing Community Services, Meyer Memorial Trust, Metro through their TOD grant, the Housing Development Center, and of course the Portland Housing Center. I'd like to thank all of you, and I would like to thank the Portland Housing Bureau for your tireless efforts to bring this project to fruition. It is really something that all of us in this community can collectively be very proud of. I also want to thank the North Northeast Oversight Committee for their diligence and hard work over the past 5 years with the North and Northeast Portland community. I'm very proud to vote aye.
Thank you.